All right, let's pray as we approach the Word of God. Last week, I began to talk to you about after the mountaintop, what's next. And I believe God has a part two for us to glean from. And so let's go before Him right now. Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You that You have the ability to change our hearts, to speak truth to us, to reveal Yourself to us so that we can change. Father, that we can be all that You called us to be individually, in our families, and in our church. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we took you over to Matthew chapter 17. So go ahead, turn over there. We're just going to real quick blow through a couple of the points that we made last week regarding after the mountaintop, what's next? How do you come off the mountain? You've had a spiritual high. You've been with the people of God. You've experienced some things. I believe that Matthew chapter 17 tells us some ways that we can come down off the mountain and that we can continue our journey of faith and do all that God has for us. So there in Matthew chapter 17 in verse 1, and it says this. It says, "And now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as the light, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered him and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, were greatly afraid. But Jesus came, touched them, and said, 'Arise, and do not be afraid.' And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, verse 9, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why do the scribes say that Elisha must come first?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Indeed, Elisha is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you, Elisha has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." So, as we said last week, Jesus took 3 of his disciples and took them up to the mountain. And so as he takes them up to the mountain, they have an experience. They have an amazing supernatural experience. You know, last week we came off of our retreat, Sink the Vision, right? Sink Your Vision 2023. We came off the mountain. Everybody was buzzing. It was exciting. And, you know, now real life kicks in, right? You're not at the retreat center anymore, right? Okay. Real life kicked in. Some of you had to go back to work. Some of you, like myself, had to work on Black Friday, and that's interesting, and that's fun, right? By the grace of God, you just do what you got to do, right? But it's not the same as being on the mountaintop. When you're on the mountaintop, you're not thinking about too much of anything, right? So the disciples there, they were like, "Hey, we just want to stay here." And I know last week, a lot of you probably felt the same way. I just want to stay in this spot. I want to stay in this love fest where we love one another, where we're experiencing the presence of God. And as I told you, I think sometimes when we look at situations like that, we're not always taught how to come off the mountain. And when I was reading this scripture, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and showed me how we can come off the mountain. The first thing is, don't try to put too much of your interpretation on it. That's what the disciples did. And so I think it's interesting that essentially, I think sometimes we just need to be quiet. And we need to do a little reflecting. Hopefully you've had a couple of opportunities, maybe with the holiday, maybe you had a chance to reflect a bit. Maybe you had a chance to think about what God was speaking to you And so sometimes you just have to be quiet. You just have to be quiet. And here, you know, Peter is always the one who pops off his mouth. And so we like to pick on him. But don't you know that all of us have done that? Yes. You know, it's real easy just to make comments. Always making comments. I mean, we live in a comment-filled society. And if you don't believe me, just get on one of the social media outlets and see. We just like to comment about everything. We want to comment the good, the bad, and the ugly. And typically, because we're hardwired to sinful nature, we usually gravitate to the negative. Am I right? You know, what was wrong with that? Well, you know, we're always finding something wrong. And so I think it's interesting that God comes down in the middle of Peter speaking, and he basically says, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." In other words, be quiet. Be quiet. And now listen to him. Why? Because he's going to lead you. He led you up the mountain. He's going to keep leading you once you're up here. And the interesting part is he's going to lead you down the mountain. He's going to lead you down the mountain where you need to help those who need help. He's going to lead you into situations that might be uncomfortable. He's going to lead you into situations where in the midst of those awesome experiences, we need to silence our tongues because we don't know the big picture. God knows the big picture. We try to live on the mountain. Jesus didn't want us to stay on the mountain. Where there isn't any struggle, there's no junk. He wants us to go into the valley and bring others to that place of vision. He wants us to bring others into knowing God. He wants to bring others into finding freedom. He wants to bring others into discovering purpose. He wants to bring others into making a difference. Because that's what God is about. He's about multiplication. And so when we're looking at this scripture, I found it interesting that the word took, when Jesus took them, he took them, that word is paralambano, and it actually means to show strong personal initiative. So he was like, come on with me. Come on with me. Follow me. Follow me. That's what he's saying. And so it was strong personal initiative that he took them up the mountain. And it took faith to follow him. It takes faith for you to continue to follow him. It took faith to go up to the mountain. It took faith. Many of you didn't even know what to expect at the retreat. You had no idea. Some of our leaders didn't even fully know anything that was going on. They knew generally what was going on, but they didn't know all of the things that were going to happen. And it took faith. It took actually trust to say, okay, I'm going up the mountain. I'm going up the mountain, and I'm going to experience God. And so last week we said that we need to shut our mouths. That was one of the things that we need to do, right? We need to shut our mouth. Sometimes we just need to shut up, right? And we need to worship. Notice what happened. They fell on their face and they worshiped God. And when the dust settled, they only saw Jesus. I want you to realize that when you come off of a mountaintop experience, you need to quiet your mind. Reflect from your spirit. Quiet the mind. In other words, be quiet. Stop commenting. You can tell people, man, Jesus was awesome. You can do that. But quit putting your own interpretation on it. And that's what Peter was trying to do. Hey, we're going to build tents. We're going to stay here. We don't need anything else. We just need to stay here. Right? And, you know, Christians throughout the ages, that's what Christian movements have done. We have tried to continue to recreate an experience that we've had. And that's why sometimes great movements of the Lord, where God has used amazing amazing thing. I think of the Wesleys when they came through the United States and great revival and the great awakenings that came, where whole towns literally would come to know Christ. And you know, when you think of the Methodist movement, and now you see where they are today, and they've just kind of they're there. Now, some of them are awesome, great places of worship. So I'm not disparaging the Methodists. I'm actually telling you that even among Pentecostal groups, we had an experience, and that's where they stay. God is not wanting us just to stay in one experience. He's wanting to move us down the mountain so that we only see Him. And it takes faith to go down the mountain too. Took faith to go up. Takes faith to follow Him down so that you only see Him. So you only see Him. I only want to see You, Lord. We sang the song, the young people, they led us in that song. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. I want to see You. Right? That was a heart's cry prayer. And when we do that, we're saying, okay, God, all right, I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna shut the pie hole. Right? And I'm going to worship You. I'm going to worship You. You know, this last weekend, you know, and this last week, our nation stops and reflects and we give thanks. Now, some people, I don't know what they're giving thanks to or what, because some of them, I was actually speaking with a colleague of mine at work who's an atheist, and he and I sometimes talk. We try to have discussions, and you know, listen, I'm about people. I love people. I want to see people who don't know Christ to come to know Him. Now, I'm not going to argue with anybody. That's not productive. But I had a discussion with him, and I'm like, I'm just curious. When you're celebrating Thanksgiving, who are you thanking? And he said, oh, I don't know, maybe just people around me that have done nice things. And I thought, man, that feels so empty to me, doesn't it? Just to say human thanks when you know how many times. I mean, I was sharing with somebody how many times that I feel like one of my other colleagues at work, I shared him that, you know, there were three different times I know for sure I could have died in my life. Three different times. My brother-in-law, Reverend Ed Elliott, says that I'm the guy who has 9 lives. He's just like a cat. He has 9 lives. But, you know, and I praise God that every single time I came close, He's so good to me. Right, Silvio? Isn't He good? He's awesome, right? He's my miracle buddy. Amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you, you know, that thankfulness, that's that act of worship. When you banish fear, so you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid to do what He says. You're not afraid to go down the mountain with Him. You're not afraid to worship Him and find your worth in Him. That is just so that you only see Him. Now, that might sound extreme. That might sound extreme. And, you still got to live your life. You still got to pay your bills. You still got to show up to work on Monday morning, right? You still got to get up and schlep to work, as they say. But at the same time, are you seeing Jesus in it? Are you seeing Jesus? Take Him with you because He goes with you down the mountain. Just because the chill bump on the back of your neck is no longer there, the goosebumps of, oh, Jesus is in this place, and all of us have had those experiences with God. That's awesome. But, you know, the Word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, say faith, faith. Not by sight. That means this, friends. That means we don't just walk by how we feel. Now, we talked about it at retreat. Our flesh has a voice. Your flesh has a voice. If you don't believe me, just decide that you're going to fast. And let's say your favorite dessert is ice cream. And you decide, I'm going to fast ice cream today. Don't you know that your refrigerator will start calling to you? Your freezer will say, come fellowship with me. I'm lonely. You know, your body, your flesh has a voice. And the word tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. So what does that look like? How do we follow him into the next adventure? If we're going to go down the mountain, now I'm on my point for today, okay? So if you're following along, I've kind of helped catch you up. You got to be quiet. You got to worship him and then follow him down the mountain by faith. We said that last week, but now I want to ask the question, what does that look like? What does that look like in real life? What does that look like when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning at 5:30 in the morning? What's that going to look like for me? How do I walk by faith and come down the mountain and have Jesus take me to that next adventure? I've got some tips that I think are going to help you. I got some tips that are going to help you. First of all, remember that our flesh has a voice, right? And I've got good news for you. You don't need a lot of faith to follow him down the mountain. So don't, this is the qualification, right? You don't need a lot of faith. You don't need a lot of faith to follow him down the mountain. Now, I'm going to show my age, okay? But does anybody remember Brill Cream? Brill Cream, Brother Jimmy?
I had hair, though.
That's when you had hair. That's great. That's great. Brill Cream was a hair product back in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s. I'm saying 70s, I'm sure, by faith. But I can remember there was a phrase they used. A little dabble do ya. Dippity do, right? And little right? Brill Cream and dippity do, a little dabble do ya. And what it was this hair product that for typically men, but not just men. I guess they had some products for women too, but they would put it on their hair and it would keep it slicked back so that it wasn't all blown and disheveled, right? So only just a little bit, you needed only just a little bit. Well, Jesus said that if you have just faith, the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need. That's all you need. Well, Pastor, how do I get that? You know, a little dabble do you, right? Well, and you're like, how did you come up with that? You know, I have no idea. You know, God knows how he speaks to me. He speaks to you the way he knows your personality. He speaks to me, and I'll remember things. Sometimes I'll tell my parents that I remember certain things. They're like, you remember that? You couldn't have been more than 2 years old. And I remember things like that. But, you know, this morning I forgot the candles for the outreach. Had to call Pastor Christine. Thankful she hadn't left the house yet. You know, it's like, I can remember something that happened when I was 2 years old, and then we got this big thing coming up Friday, and Pastor forgot the candles. Yeah, but they're here, thank God. So you can help with them today, okay? That's one of our next adventures. Amen. So faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, because I believe that faith has a lot to do with how we're going to come off the mountain. How we're going to go into the next adventure that God has for us. So chapter 11, we call this the Hall of Faith. We call it the faith chapter in the New Testament. And verse 1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One word connotation that will help in the English language. Faith is the foundation. It's the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence. One translation actually says the proof or the title deed of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we see a definition of faith there in the first couple of verses. Now skip on over to verse 6, like I said, and it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God expects a believer to walk by faith. So for following him down the mountain, it takes faith to come off the mountain. It took faith to go up. It takes faith to go down, because there is an assignment that God has for each one of us. That assignment takes faith. That assignment takes trust, absolute trust that says, listen, I trusted you so much to go up the mountain. Now I'm going to trust you to come down. And when I come down, I know that you will empower me to do the things that you told us that we should do. Trust the one who took you up the mountain. Trust the one to follow him into the next adventure. Faith, as one writer said, faith is the currency of heaven. If we desire to follow him, it will take using the currency of heaven. But a little dab will do you. You don't need a lot. You don't need a lot. You don't need to be a millionaire in faith. You need to have a little bit. Trust him for the first step. And sometimes that first step, man, that's a big one. That's a big one. During the retreat, we referenced Indiana Jones taking that first step when he was trying to walk across the chasm to save his father and to get to the other side and to, you know, rescue in the Hollywood movie, right? And that first step, he couldn't see it. See, you can't always see the next step. You can't always see the next place. Church, we can't necessarily see it with our natural eyes, what God's going to ask us to do next. But when we trust him and he speaks, we take that step. We take that step. See, faith speaks. It's not silent. That's why I say earlier, I said this. If faith is the language of heaven, if it's the language or if it's the currency of heaven, then we need to learn to speak faith. Well, what does that look like? Again, what does it look like coming off of the mountain, coming out of an experience with God? What does that look like? Well, it looks like speaking faith. It looks like trusting God and even saying what God says. In other words, aligning. We talked about getting in sync. Say what God says. Say what God says. When you say what God says, your ears will hear it. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. Says faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when you hear yourself speak the word of God, faith begins to rise in your heart. You hear more and more. That's why we should rehearse the goodness of God. That's why Thanksgiving is great, because it is the language of faith. We're rehearsing the goodness of God. We're rehearsing what God did, what God has done. You know, when we had different ones just share little testimonies of how they met Christ. Brother Jim, Sister Valley, you heard a little bit of my testimony. How you met Christ, what happens? Faith arises in your heart. You say, oh yeah, I remember when I met Christ. Right, Randy? You speak that over, and when you speak what happened to you, there is something, it taps into that experience you had with God. It does. When you start to repeat and rehearse what God has done. And if we look back in the children of Israel, one of the things that they did, God always told them to rehearse the goodness of God. He always told them. Mm-hmm. And what did they do? The psalmist is writing, even in his most despairing days, where Saul is chasing David. And David is reminding himself of the goodness of God. You can just see it all through the book of Psalms, where David is reminding himself, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. What's he doing? He's running for his life. What's he speaking? Faith? You only need a little dab. Little dab will do you. That's it. You don't need to have mountain-sized faith to move a mountain. You just have to have the grain of the mustard seed of faith. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But faith speaks. It's not silent. I'm going to say it again. Faith speaks. It's not silent. It's not silent. Faith speaks. You say, well, what do you mean it speaks? Well, faith, if you're going to live by faith, you need to speak. In fact, just to be saved, it says, if you believe in your heart and you what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. And so faith overrides what's going on up here. Faith's down here. Faith's of the heart. It's not of the head. And when we understand that, the better we are coming down the mountaintop experiences. When we understand it's not about feeling, it's about obeying and listening and speaking what the next assignment is. And so God's speaking to you and to me. He's telling us what the next steps are. It's the currency of heaven. We trust the one who took us up the mountain, and we trust him going down. Mark chapter 11. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11 right now. In verse 22, Mark chapter 11. This is also known as one of the famous faith passages. Mark chapter 11. And starting in verse 22, I think this is important for us to see. All right. Starting in verse 22, Mark chapter 11. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or in other words, in the Greek language, it actually means have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you probably should, says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. Verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, and you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So faith speaks. Faith speaks. Now turn over with me very quickly to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And this is a good reminder. We're a faith church, so we believe that we speak those things which be not as though they are. Where does that phrase come from? Well, in Romans chapter 4, we actually see what Abraham did, and we see that it's interesting, because I believe that we can emulate that too. We can learn from that. All of Scripture is for us to learn, so that we can also apply that to our life. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that might be according to grace, so that the promise be sure to all the seed, not only to those of the law, but also those of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, verse 17, in the presence of him who he believed God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Did you see that? That's how God is with faith. Just look at Genesis. He said, light be, and light was. They say, according to scientists who study the universe, they say that the universe continues to expand. You know, it's funny, because I heard one writer say this, says, yeah, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe God spoke, and bang, it happened, and it's still happening. It's still happening. When God speaks, he speaks the word. Remember, Jesus spoke. He spoke to demons. He spoke to wind. He spoke to sickness, disease. He spoke. What did he do? He's speaking. He's speaking faith. So faith, when we come off the mountain, speaks what God says. We speak what God says about us. That I am, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The enemy comes to you and tries to tell you stuff. He tries to tell you about your past. He's looking in the rearview mirror all the time. All the time. And he tries to remind you of every mistake you've ever done. And what's his favorite phrase? And you call yourself a Christian. Sometimes people will even say that out loud. They'll be amplifiers for his thoughts. Because the enemy wants to discourage you from coming off the mountain in faith. He wants to discourage you and get you off of the things that God has said. Just look at how he dealt with Adam and Eve. What did he do? He questions what God said. Did God say that? Did he really mean that? Well, maybe he didn't mean that. See, the enemy still works in the same way that he did way back then. He uses the same toolbox. He doesn't have any ingenuity to come up with any new tools. He just uses the same toolbox. We have an entire generation that is listening to just their flesh to tell them who they are. Have you thought about that for a second? Rather than who God says they are. Oh, they're my beloved. They're the ones I died for. They've been created in my image. Yeah, so we have got to learn to listen to the voice of God that much clearer. As we come off the mountain, we speak. We speak those things which be not as though they are. We speak, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You may not feel like the righteousness of God in Christ. Listen, every day I wake up, I don't feel like the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, and if you think pastors and evangelists and teachers and people that God uses do, you got another thing coming. We're people. We walk around with flesh just like you. We have to crucify this flesh, tell our flesh no, just like you do. So I'm a believer first, and I happen to be a pastor. He called me into a gifting to do that. I have to be a believer first. I got to come off the mountain the same way you do. I don't have this glowing thing happening in my room. Okay. But I want to get close to him. I want to hear his voice better, just as you do. Right? And that's how we are the most encouraging church. We are that. We're not going to be that. We are that. What am I doing? Speaking those things. Now you say, well, that sounds like witchcraft, Pastor. You're just speaking it just like, you know, making something manifest. No, when you speak God's word, you're not making something manifest. You're speaking what God says about you. You're speaking what God says about you. About you. Don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about New Age junk. There's always a counterfeit to everything. There is a counterfeit to our identity in Christ. There is a counterfeit to, there's always something the enemy tries to play off as being the real. But when we go back to the Word of God, we see, wait a second, Abraham got his name changed so that he was walking around saying, hi, my name is not Abram. My name is Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Well, how many kids you've got? None. Yet. And then he tried to help God. And then we got Ishmael. Right? And we still got Ishmael. When we have things happening in the Middle East, you can trace it all the way back to Ishmael. You can. Why? Because when we try to help God out, we can make a mess of things. So that's side journey. That's another day. All right. Don't help God out. Just turn to your neighbor and say, don't help him out. So we have, when we are we believe and we speak. We believe and we speak. That's how you got saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. What does it say? You believe in your heart. You believe in your heart and you confess him with what? Your mouth. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. If you'll listen to him as you come off the mountain, you may end up, he may, if you've never been baptized, he might tell you, follow me in baptism. Why? That seals the deal. That's just a sealing. It doesn't save you. It's a sealing. It's like, I'm with them. It's a public proclamation. There has been an internal thing that happened to me. I've got something on the inside working on the outside. I am one of his. Just like you might wear a Yankees ball cap. What are you doing? You're identifying with what? The New York Yankees. But when we identify with Christ, we're saying, I'm with him. I'm with him. I don't know about you. I want to be with him. I've read the end of the book. I want to be with him. I don't want to be on the other side. I don't even want to even think that I would try to straddle the line and just be sort of with him. I want to be with him. How about you? You want to be with him? Amen. Amen. So when we're coming off the mountain, we've got to do it in faith. And faith looks like, it looks like speaking those things which be not as though they are. Last week, the Lord gave a word that, a couple of words. One of them was an encouraging word to this church, that I said to our leaders last Saturday evening, you guys acted like a 400-member church. And over the next course of several hours going into Sunday morning, the Spirit of God spoke to me very strongly and said, and that's where you're going. Now, when you look around right now, I naturally do not see 400 people. Do you? I don't. But I believe that we can. I believe that we can see that. I believe that God does want to bring those who are out of fellowship with him. The prodigals are returning. Those that maybe were raised in church and disconnected, God wants to reconnect them to a family of faith. He wants to see the lost saved. Remember when he finished with Zacchaeus, what did he do? He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. When you come off the mountain, God has assignments for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, assignments. Remember, in the retreat, we talked about when you know how much God loves you, when you know how much he loves you and you know him, and you discover freedom in Christ, that you're free from your past, you're free from those chains, you don't have to be controlled by anything. No anger, no addiction, you do not have to be in prison with those things that block you. When you understand that freedom and walk into purpose, that God's got an assignment for your life. Not everybody is assigned to preach the gospel like I am, but everybody is assigned to preach the gospel with their life. Everybody, if you've called Christ your Lord, everybody has an assignment to be an ambassador for him. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody. Everybody. Everybody's got an assignment. Right? To make a difference. To make a difference. Now, I posted on the Westchester Family Church Facebook site a picture that I come across this week. And I thought it was really an interesting picture, because it speaks and it says, how do people start attending church? 86%, because somebody invited them. Hello? 86% come to church because somebody invited them. Now, I'm going to highlight one person from the beginning of this church who has invited more people to this church and gotten them to actually come. And she is not somebody who's going to pick up a microphone and preach to you, but her life preaches. And that is Vanjie Tan.
That's right.
Vanjie Tan has... So 86% of people who are attending a church regularly, they're here. They're here because a friend invited them. Now, a lot of times, if you grew up in a church that didn't have this terminology, organized visitation, that sounds a little bit odd, but what that means is you go house to house. You visit people. 6%, pretty small percentage, come to a church because there was a group of people that met at church, prayed, and went and just knocked on doors. 6%. Six. The third is pastor invited somebody. Pastor invited somebody and they came. 6%. Advertising. I know, pastor, this has got to be the big one. This is the mother load. If we advertise, that's how we're going to grow our church. 2%. 2%. Now, probably with social media, a lot of that has changed a bit. And I would imagine it has increased a lot because we have social media presence that people do find churches based on websites and social media presence. Okay, so going forward in the new year, we want to figure out ways to do that better. Maybe some of you, God will speak to you to be a part of that. Assignments. When we're coming off the mountain, there's an assignment. If we're going to see this church actually grow to 400, and again, it's not about a number. It's not just let's grow it like a business. We're a family. You're not a number, and the person who, but I will tell you this, God is interested in numbers. He wants to see his kingdom grow. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. It's not us four and no more. All right? So if you have an empty space next to you in your seat, believe God to fill it, even if it's uncomfortable. Yeah. Believe God to fill it. Believe God to fill it. And you will see that God will help you fill it by faith. And if 86% come because of an invitation, then that's a pretty obvious assignment. So there are in the back, I think we still have, we have plenty of these invite cards. You're invited. Sunday's 10:45. There's a little QR code, takes you right to our website. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't know who to invite. God will show you. If you ask him, say, what does this look like coming down the mountain? Lord, who do you want me to encourage today? Who do you want me to pray for today? Who do you want me to step out in faith for and say, hey, can I pray for you? It takes boldness. Trust me. I know. I work in an environment just like you. Not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody wants even to hear anything about Christ. I get it. I get that you might step out of bounds and somebody might get mad at you. I get it. I understand. I get it. So who's God going to lead you to? There's always one. There's a neighbor. There's somebody that you meet in the grocery store checkout line. There's a coworker who seems to be hurting. There's somebody. You say, well, what do I invite them to? Just a normal church service? Listen, if we are the most encouraging church around, which I believe we are, when you invite them, they're going to feel loved. They're going to experience God. They're going to know that they can find freedom, a community of faith, and support, and they're going to like it. It's just the way it is. God will draw them. God will draw them. We have opportunities with several things that are coming up. Friday night is an awesome opportunity for you to invite somebody. And you say, well, what happens if they show up and we run out of food? Then we run out of food. But I'm telling you, it's not going to happen that way. Because if you just try to invite, even if two or three show up, I'm sure one of us could do without an extra piece of pie. I'm sure one of us could do without an extra dessert or an extra this or that. We'll pay by the number at the end of the night when we're at Mimi's Coffee House. We will pay our way. We're not looking for freebies, okay? But if you have an opportunity to invite somebody to a unique event, hey, come with me. My church is passing out candles, and the ukulele band is playing, and it's a tree lighting. It's a holiday thing, right? What a great opportunity. And they get to experience the love and the warmth that this Westchester Family Church has. They get to experience the most encouraging church around. They get to experience us with our hair down, so to speak, playing on ukuleles, sipping coffees, and enjoying each other's company and having conversation. And that is an awesome place to invite somebody. You say, okay, well, what if they can't come to that? Christmas luncheon coming up, right? I believe we'll have plenty of food. Don't you, Miss Avril?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What if they don't come to that, Pastor? Christmas Eve is a great opportunity. If they don't normally go to church, hey, would you like to come with me to church? It's an opportunity. These are opportunities for you that you don't even have to really step out that far out of the comfort zone to get people to come. It is up to you. Now, here's my challenge for you today. Coming off the mountain, how do I share the goodness of God? Just talk about what he's done in your life. Talk about the fact I just got off this retreat with my church and it was awesome. And say something, and then, you know, maybe a day or so later, or maybe as the Lord leads you, maybe you'll say them right away. Hey, would you like to come to the tree lighting? It's a lot of fun. And we're going over to Mimi's Coffee House, and we're going to have some coffee. We're going to sing some songs with some ukuleles. It's an awesome opportunity. When you come down the mountain with vision in sight, God will meet you. Why? Because you're only seeing Jesus. You're speaking by faith. You're looking for those adventures that God has for each one of us this week. You say, well, how do I begin that, Pastor? We're going to pray right now. And when we pray, I believe God's going to give you some people in your mind that you probably should approach and ask. Somebody, and we're not looking for other Christians who are already a part of other churches. We're looking for people who, they need the Lord. They need a touch of love. So right now, let's close our eyes. Let's pray. God's got some things as we come down this mountain. We're coming down by faith. He took you up by faith. Now he can take you down. And he takes you down to actually spread his goodness. So Father, right now, I pray for this congregation. Father, I pray that you are speaking to them to know who they can begin to pray for. And Lord, I pray if you give them two or three names and just one of them doesn't seem like it's the right time, Lord, you'll lead and guide them. Lord, they have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. They have the one who leads and guides into all truth. They understand, Father, according to what your word says, that they are your sheep. They hear your voice. They don't follow the voice of another. So, Father, I thank you that as they pray about who they would invite, who they would just reach out to touch during this Christmas season, Father, I pray, God, that names would just rise to the top. Lord, that they would see those names even as they wake up in the morning on this new adventure tomorrow, saying, okay, God, all right, what do you have for us today? What do you have for me today, Lord? I pray, God, that those names would come up before them. Father, that names of people they hadn't talked to in years, names of people that they know just really aren't people of faith, but they could use a community of faith. They could use a touch from a community of life-giving faith. Father, I pray that you right now would speak and show, and over these next couple of days, Father, that you would just open doors of conversation and opportunities so that Lord, your people can walk out assignments to bring others, Father God, into relationship number one with you. And Father, that they would come to know what it's like to be part of a life-giving family, of faith. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, amen. With now, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, and if you don't know Christ, or if you're watching online right now and you'd like to know Him, or you'd like to recommit your life to Christ, I'd like to give you that opportunity. It sounds a little redundant because we do this every week, even when I think everybody in the room knows Christ. But we do this so that it is an opportunity that you know that every week there is always an opportunity for somebody to either come to Christ or come back from being away from Him. And so let's just pray this simple prayer of belief based on Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's pray it out loud together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come before you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe
in my heart
that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I receive His forgiveness, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time as an act of rededication or coming to know Christ, I want to know about it. I'd like to give you some books, help you in your walk with God. If you don't have a Bible-believing church that will teach you the way that I'm teaching you, the things of faith, that the Bible is real, it has relevance for our life, we can help you find one. If you're not close right here in close to Mount Kisco, we can help you find one. There are plenty of churches that are lifting up the name of Jesus and causing the believers to grow in faith. And we want to help you in that. Amen. Let's stand our feet as we have our sending out verse. And let's say this over ourselves and over this church. Let's speak the word of God over ourselves, our church, our family. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8.